If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. We'll be looking this morning at verses 11 through 15 of the resurrection account. I think we managed to cover each and every one of them this week. I did Mark and John in the sunrise service, and Harry did Luke in our Sunday school reading, and now we're in Matthew. But it's important to cover it from all angles because the event that's being described and what that event means the world, quite literally. So let us hear the word of the Lord taken from the prophet or the gospel writer Matthew to the people of God. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. When they assembled the elders and had taken counsel, they gave them a sum of money and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole his body away while they were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews this day. And thus ends this reading of God's holy word. Grass withers and the flower fades. The word of our Lord stands forever. Let us pray. Dearest Lord Jesus, help us this day to have a more accurate picture what the empty tomb means. And help us to be more sensitive to attacks of all kinds that are around us about the fact that this tomb is not empty. Help us, dearest Heavenly Father, to be more confident than we ever have been before about what Scripture testifies to, and all the more willing, ready, and able to live that out but the things that we back our faith up with, which, as James, our Lord's brother, would say, are our actions. We ask this through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The title of the message bulletin today is one that says believability. Believability. What does it mean to really believe? Believe in something. What does belief take? And how easy is it to believe in any one thing over another? The situation is pretty apparent according to the gospel writer's perspective. Jesus Christ had suffered. Jesus Christ had died. Jesus Christ did not faint. Jesus Christ did not swoon. A sword had been stuck into his side. Water and blood mixture has come out. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus Christ is dead. Body has been placed in the tomb. And now, this tomb is empty. And individuals who had been tasked with being sure that the ministry, the message of Jesus Christ, was in fact done away with, are now faced with a very serious dilemma. What do you do with the reality of an empty tomb? It's one thing to convince people that what an individual is saying is false when you can take them to the proof that it's false and say, "Look at it. Here's the proof. Here's the body. Here's the grave. Here it is. He's dead. He said, lay my life down, I'm going to raise it up again in 3 days. I'm going to tear this temple down, I'm going to raise it up again in 3 days. In 3 days, I'm coming back." Sign of Jonah. In 3 days, I'm coming back. He said this message. Pilate, he said this message. We need to be sure that nothing can be done to make it look like his word has actually come to pass. None of his followers who are following him have the opportunity to orchestrate events around us to make it look like his word has come true, because his word has obviously not come true. His word has failed. But just be on the safe side. Let's be sure that there can be no hoaxes. Let's be sure there can be no conspiracies. Let's be sure that we watch. You know, hoaxes are powerful things. There have been some tremendous hoaxes played on humanity over the course of time. Everybody, you talk about a hoax and you think War of the Worlds, and I know some of you may actually remember this radio broadcast. Most of us do not do, but we've heard about it where, again, everybody was getting their news over the radio, and Orson Welles put on his drama about how aliens from Mars were attacking the Earth, and played it off with breaking news broadcasts in and out of the music that was regularly playing that hour, and people believed that the Earth was under attack, that Martians were coming. Yes, it was prefaced at the beginning that it wasn't the case, but if you missed that prefatory mark at the beginning and you just flipped on the radio and you heard, you thought, and people acted. There was a lot of panic in the world because they really thought aliens were coming down, because that's what the news was telling us was happening. But it was a hoax. It was a story. People believed. Jesus said, "I will rise again in 3 days." Leader said, Pilate put guards, put Roman guards, trained Roman guards there to stand watch. Put your seal on the tomb that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is not going to be broken, that nothing has happened, because if, for whatever reason, that body is not there in 3 days, there's going to be an even bigger problem on our lap than we had even before he was killed. And so the guards are placed, the steps are taken, the protocol is there to be sure that his word does not come to pass. And then the stone is rolled away. And the guards faint. And they wake up, and they look, and they say, uh-oh. It wasn't our fault. Pilate, we weren't negligent here. Something extraworldly has just happened here. This is what happened. And they tell the chief priests. And the chief priests say, "All right, do this. Tell them the disciples came and stole his body." We can't do that. We're soldiers with a commission. We tell them some, you know, crowd came along and did this, 12 ruffians, we'll lose our lives. We were tasked to be sure this is done. We'll take care of you. We'll be sure that if this comes to his ears, we'll take care of you. We'll take care of you. Here's money. That's a lot of money. All we want you to do is feed the story that somebody took the body out of the grave. That's it. They took it, and they spread the story. The text writer tells us there was a story that still circulated around the people in that day. That Jesus did not rise from the dead, that people came and stole his body. Why does that matter? Because the empty tomb is going to leave you with one of two options. Either A, Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Christ, that the profession of the centurion at the cross was 100% correct, or that he was a liar, a hoax, and a charlatan. Those are your choices. He's the Messiah. He did rise from the dead. He was a liar, and he didn't. Two stories. Both of which are recorded here. One says he rose from the dead, one said he didn't. Now, we have a tendency to think to ourselves today that in Christian circles, again, well, it's a natural fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I mean, that's what Scripture testifies to, so why would you doubt it? But the the reality is that the world still doubted it. It's not just that the story was still spread among the Jews way back then that he didn't rise from the dead, that he was taken out by someone and buried elsewhere. That story still continues today. Brenda and I watched a documentary last night called Biblical Conspiracies, dealing with the ossuary of James. Anybody ever hear the ossuary of James? Here's the deal. At that point in time, when you died, all right, again, graves weren't just everywhere, all right, and families tended to be buried together if they could be. So what they would do is they would place the body into a temporary grave, and when the body had decomposed, they would gather up the bones, put the bones into smaller boxes, and place them into family crypts, family tombs, in little boxes called ossuaries. These are very common. This is not just, you know, the very common practice that happened. Well, there was a ossuary that was discovered back in, came to news about 2005, an ossuary that was discovered that had the inscription on it, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. All right, and speculation, needless to say, was, is this a fake? Is this a forgery? Is this something that is not legitimate? Or is this, in fact, something that is legitimate? Are these the bones of James, or the ones held the bones of James, that wrote the book of James? Jesus' half-brother. Is this it? And the guy put this on display. Biblical scholars came, they looked, and they said that it wasn't a forgery. The Israeli government demanded that it be returned back to Israel, and it did get returned back to Israel, and the man was arrested after it came back as a forger with a money laundering operation. All right? And this trial drug on for over a decade, from 2005 until just very recently. Now, along that, the question of where was this box found? Where was it found? And it was found in a tomb in Jerusalem that housed other ossuaries with other names on it. Names like Joseph, names like Mary, names like Maryam, or Mary Magdalene, names like Jesus. Did this ossuary belong with these others? And could this actually be where the remains of Jesus' whole family were taken? Buried. And they worked through this whole hour-long series of how they went back and forth and did chemical analysis and tried to figure out the rate of decay in each of these things to try to match it up to prove if this was the box of James. And if that's the case, the box that said Jesus, does that mean those are Jesus's bones? Was Jesus, in fact, actually ended up buried with his family and not ascended, waiting to come again? Did the disciples come and take his body away and bury it elsewhere in secret? Or Jesus Christ rise from the dead? The story that was spread the days immediately after the event still continues on today. And if you're a scientific type guy or gal, the evidence is quite startling. From a purely worldly standpoint, as you look at it, you can look at the chemical characteristics between this, that, and the other, and you can say all of these once were housed together. And everything, and of course it's painted from the perspective of trying to dissuade Christian belief, but look, the message is out there in the world. Christians, you're believing a story. You're believing a hoax. You're believing something that we have scientifically proven that's not true. And I watched it, and I watched it quite intently because it's important to listen to the other side of the argument. And there was one glaring component in the whole thing that never got brought up. That when you don't look at it in its context, you miss sight of the whole thing. Let's just say for a moment that this ossuary of James was James, the brother of Jesus Christ. Let's just say that that was his bone. Let's just say that all this stuff is buried together in the tomb. That it's actually the bones of Joseph, actually the bones of Mary, actually the bones of Mary Magdalene, actually the bones of some of his other brothers and sisters. Let's just say that it was actually the bones of Jesus Christ. Let's say that. Let's say the worldly people are right and these are the bones of Jesus Christ and these were the bones of James. They think because if they can connect all the dots together, they've proven that Jesus didn't ascend. that he, you know, just died and had his bones buried. And that's essentially how they ended it. We've just proven that to be true. But history tells us a very important thing. James did not believe Jesus was the Messiah until after the resurrection. And after the resurrection, James spent the rest of his life defending the claims that Jesus is who he said he was. He went to his death at the hands of the Jews who wanted him dead for proclaiming Jesus Christ is the risen and ascended Lord. He gave his life in that belief. The whole latter part of his life was proving the validity of the claims that Jesus is who he said he was. Now, why would a man who's a part of a conspiracy, who has the bones of his brother buried in the family crypt, willing to sacrifice for that? Willing to live that? Why would the apostles, who had such incredible pressure put on them to stop proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, keep proclaiming it? Why would Saul, who loved Yahweh and wanted to see him glorified, if he was not fully convinced by a resurrected appearance of Jesus Christ to him on the Damascus Road, why wouldn't it be easier to simply believe that the body had been taken, moved elsewhere, and listened to the story of the soldiers? Because he had a reality that stood in direct contrast with it, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that story was the hoax, not this one. That the tomb was empty, that he did rise, that resurrection has come. And when the elders and Pharisees and Sadducees say, just stop proclaiming him, we say we can't. Because to stop proclaiming him means we can't proclaim the truth. And this is the truth of God, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And that there is no life apart from him. That there is no hope for life over death apart from him. We are telling the truth, not you. No, we are telling the truth and not you. Both voices are going to be there. They're always going to be there in this world. You will always have people trying to disprove who Jesus was, not simply in an atheistic, secular way, but among other religions, trying to prove the validity of their message, that their voice, that this is the truth, that this is the way, that this is the life, but Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That is, in large part, the message that's put before you this day. You gathered together, you celebrated an Easter sunrise service, you're here today for this morning worship service to proclaim a resurrected Lord. The only way to really know you believe that is to not simply profess it with your mouth, but to live it out with your life. The way the apostles lived it out, the way James lived it out, the way that so many of us, including some in our own days and age, the Egyptians who had gone to church a week ago, lost their lives. Live it out. Faith. We live with tremendous blessings in this country, and it is a joy to be able to experience those blessings. We praise God for those blessings. But the reality is, Christianity can either be a comfortable fit for you because it meets your particular situation, or it can be a fit for you because it is the truth. What it is you are willing to change or not change in your life will determine what it is you truly believe. Let me put it to you this way. You've had 200 plus years of Easter here at Timber Ridge. Lots of different things have been going on. There's different styles, there's different customs, different traditions. That's fine. Hold them dear. I love your sunrise service. I liked it better when it was 60 degrees today as opposed to 29 degrees last year. But I like the outdoor presence of it. I like that. Hold on to that tradition. That's a good thing. But what are you willing to let go of because it's not the truth? I started different things since I came here. You got a Sunday night service, we got a men's rally, ladies' conference, some other things going on, good Bible studies. I started expository preaching. I preach through books of the Bible. That's what I do because I think the best way for people to be equipped by the Word of God is to be exposed to the Word of God, to be saturated in it. So we go through the books of the Bible. Some of you may like that a lot. Some of you may hate it. I don't know. But the question is, if someone, apart from me, were to come in and only reference this, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus has directed them, boom, done with the Bible, and just started talking about whatever, and did it week in and week out and week in and week out and week in and week out, and only used this book as just a springboard to talk about whatever hobby he wanted to talk about. You comfortable with that? Would you tolerate that? Or would you say, you are giving us something less than the truth of God, and we will not tolerate that? Individual comes in and says, well, you know, we believe Jesus did miracles, but actually he really didn't do miracles. Those were just natural events, and, you know, we've moved beyond that. Would you tolerate that? Individual comes in and says, well, Jesus wasn't really the Messiah. He was just a man. Would you tolerate that? Individual comes in and says, tolerance is the name of the game, the day and age in which we live. We no longer call sin for sin. We'll call it a disease. We'll call it a sickness, but we'll no longer call it sin because, after all, we're all just suffering together. Would you go along with that? The church, at best, has always proclaimed maybe only half the true truth of Scripture. And we get bracketed back and forth on all sides, and we get carried along by the whims and the doctrines of the world right along with us. But the one thing that always steers the church certain is resting on this truth, is resting on what it says, is resting on the fact that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, and that while we may not be perfect in our walk after him, we want to be faithful. Be faithful. Walk the walk before you. Grieve with sad tears. Rejoice with glad tears. Pray like you've never prayed before. Look for answers. Work for a better world. Work for a better here and now. Overcome injustice. Heed Sermon on the Mount. But don't try to do it in your own strength or cut the gospel out of it in the name of social justice, because you cut the gospel out of social justice and you cut the whole reason why you do it out in the first place. What stories will you believe? And when you look at the opposite side, will you be able to look at it and say, you're wrong? If you can't, go closer to the answers that matter. Let's talk about it. Let's pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, I do pray your blessings upon your people here this day. And I pray, dearest Lord, that what it is that we've proclaimed this day, Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ risen, Jesus Christ ascended and glorified, Jesus Christ coming again to bring his elect home and to execute judgment on all those who have rejected him. May that truth sink deep into everything that we see in our own lives and in the world around us. We may have eyes to see spiritually the realities that are set before us, and ears always willing to heed the voice of our Master, not the voice of the siren song. We ask this through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Closing hymn today will be hymn number 79, and let us rise and praise our Lord in the words of the hymn, Christ Arose, hymn 79.